Radio Prague News.
Large-scale cleanup operations are underway in South Bohemia as floodwaters go down. More heavy rainfall has been forecast for the weekend in all regions of the Czech Republic. And box offices in Karlovy Vary are open for the 44th International Film Festival. Large-scale cleanup operations are underway in South Bohemia as floodwaters go down. Local firemen and charity organizations are being assisted by the Czech Army in the initial work of clearing debris, purifying waterways, and repairing roads. More than 500 homes have been inundated in South Bohemia, and the region has estimated total damages in the hundreds of millions of crowns. Moreover, meteorologists are issuing further storm warnings for the weekend. Forecasters expect from 2 to 4 days of heavy rains and hail accompanied by strong winds across the entire country, focusing on Bohemia on Saturday and Moravia on Sunday. Intermittent but heavy storms over the last 2 weeks have caused flash floods around the Czech Republic, particularly in the frequently inundated regions of the south and east of the country. So far, the disaster has caused 14 deaths and the evacuation of a number of villages. Boats are returning to the Vltava in central Prague as water levels return to normal. Other flood precautions will be relaxed once flood watch alerts are cancelled. The Czech metropolis is now protected by a series of mobile and fixed flood barriers created to preclude the major disaster that the city suffered when the Vltava broke its banks in 2002. In other news, the annual Karlovy Vary International Film Festival opened its screening rooms Friday for the start of its 44th year. On Thursday, world-renowned Czech-American director Miloš Forman arrived in the spa town, where he will be presenting the world premiere of his new film A Walk Worth Wild, ahead of its release on July 9th. Actors John Malkovich and Antonio Banderas are also set to make an appearance at this year's festival, as is director and screenwriter Paul Schrader. 14 films from as many countries will be competing for the main prize, though the Czech Republic will not be represented in competition this year. Last year it was a Danish film, Terribly Happy, which took the festival's Crystal Globe for Best Film. And taking a quick look at the weather, more storms are forecast for the next couple of days, with cloudy skies and temperatures ranging between 24 and 28 degrees Celsius. I'm Christian Falvey, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Rob Cameron. Coming up in today's programme, the number of Czech swine flu cases rises to 15. We hear about the authorities' response. Czechs who lost property when sub-Carpathian Ruthenia was seized by the Soviets in 1945 are finally set to receive compensation. And the 44th International Karlovy Vary Film Festival gets underway. We hear what's in store this year. All that coming up in the next few minutes. Stay tuned. Fifteen cases of swine flu have now been registered in the Czech Republic, five new cases on Thursday alone. Officials revealed that the patients had come down with the illness after having returned from the United States and, in one case, Japan. While all the incidents of the disease are being described as mild, it is clear that further cases are inevitable. Great Britain alone, much harder hit, is bracing itself for 100,000 new cases per day by the end of the summer. Jan Wellinger reports.
So far, the number of swine flu cases in Central Europe has been fairly low, only in the dozens, far less than Spain, the UK, and far less, for example, than the US. But the number is rising and will likely continue to go up. On Thursday, the number of cases in the Czech Republic jumped by a third, from 10 to 15, although officials have stressed there was no cause for panic. So far, the country has seen no related deaths and cases have been fairly mild, with patients allowed to recover at home instead of remaining in hospital. Such was the case of one couple in their 20s from Ostrava who recently returned from the US where they had been visiting relatives. Health official Josef Matuška described their condition on Thursday.
byl odebrán biologický materiál, který byl potvrzen, že se opravdu jedná.
Tests confirmed the presence of swine flu, but the patients did not have the worst of symptoms and have been allowed to remain in quarantine at home. They have been given antibiotics and are now on their way to recovery. The symptoms are diminishing.
V současné době jejich zdravotní stav je poměrně příznivý. Příznaky na ústupu.
According to the World Health Organization, in Europe, almost 10,000 people have now been diagnosed with the H1N1 virus. Four people have died. Meanwhile, the head of the World Health Organization stressed on Thursday that the majority of cases worldwide had been mild, seeing recoveries within a week, many even without treatment. In all, WHO reports that more than 70,000 around the world have contracted the virus. 300 cases of swine flu have resulted in death.
And thanks to Jan Wellinger for that report. A small group of Czechs who've been seeking justice for almost 70 years have now been promised they will be compensated for property lost before and after the Second World War. The Czechs lost out when the Hungarians and then the Soviet Union took over Subcarpathian Ruthenia, formerly the easternmost tip of Czechoslovakia. After many setbacks, Czech lawmakers have now given the final go-ahead for compensation. Chris Johnstone reports.
Most of the spotlight regarding restitution and justice was focused this week on the recovery of Jewish property looted during World War II as an international conference concluded in Prague. So, a decision by Czech President Václav Klaus to sign into law a proposal offering compensation to Czechs who lost property in Subcarpathian Ruthenia, or Subcarpathian Rus, grabbed few headlines. The move, however, marks a turnaround by the president, who earlier said he saw no reason for today's taxpayers paying out for almost 70-year-old injustices, and a final victory for the handful of surviving Czechs who were sent packing. After a staged occupation by Hungary in 1938 and 1939, Subcarpathian Ruthenia was occupied by the Soviet Union at the end of World War II. It was then handed over to the Soviet occupiers by former Czechoslovak President Edvard Beneš and is now part of Ukraine. Expectations that Czechs who lost property would be compensated quickly under international agreements never materialized, with the subject closed under the communist regime. Josef Havel is now 76 and left Subcarpathian Ruthenia when the Hungarians marched in 1938. He is the chairman of the main group which has fought over the last 8 years for a change in the law that would allow compensation.
It's been 8 years since we came up with this goal. From that time, we decided we must do something in order for this law to be able to come into force and this situation to be resolved. So I feel it is a clear success.
He believes only a few hundred people, those who were dispossessed and their direct descendants, will be able to successfully claim compensation. Mr. Havel again.
It's 60 years since that time. Many have died. The young are not at all aware that they should be declaring themselves for this or do not know about it at all. When these people left Subcarpathian Ruthenia, our parents were around 40. 60 years on, they would be around 100 now, and many families did not talk about it much. I know how it was with us.
He can put a claim in for the family house that was left behind with the 1938 value multiplied by 10. It's still not enough to buy a modern house, but represents some late and symbolic compensation at least.
Chris Johnston reporting there. Every July, the Czech Republic sees the return of the famous Karlovy Vary International Film Festival, 8 days of world-class cinematography and 7 nights of world-class parties. Our reporter Christian Falvey begins a week of stories on both.
The box offices are open and the red rug is out of the closet, strewn out in front of the Thermal Hotel and awaiting its first famous footsteps, those of Czech-American director Miloš Forman. Earlier I spoke to program director Julieta Sichel, who told me what we can expect from day one of the 44th Karlovy Vary International Film Festival.
We will open with the new US film, which is called The Greatest. It's an international premiere, and the director of the film, Shane Fest, should come to introduce the film to the audiences. The festival traditionally opens with the red carpet, of course, with the arrival of the guests of the festival, and then the opening ceremony will take place, and after that the film, the opening film, which I already mentioned, will start.
And why was that film chosen? Can you tell me what it's about?
Well, this film, it's kind of a little bit of a sad story for the opening of the festival, but we really like the film. It includes big names, which of course is interesting and important for an opening film. The film stars Susan Sarandon and Pierce Brosnan, so I think these names are very attractive for the audiences that will attend the opening. The director is young, and it's a very interesting film, very well made. It's a story about a family which is trying to come to terms with their lives and with things happening around them after one of their sons dies.
Do you have any expectations for festival turnout this year?
Well, we hope that everything will go well. We hope that as many people as last year or maybe more will come and that they will like the films that we selected.
Turnout, indeed, tends not to be a problem at the biggest film event in Central Europe. Of course, there's always the great hope-dashing economic crisis to foil the best-laid plans of any organizer, but then 65 crowns per ticket is unlikely to strain the loyalties of the festival's devoted student fan base. And 220 films across 25 program sections leaves little room for audience dissatisfaction. In competition for the Crystal Globe are 14 films from 14 countries. There will be world premieres, including the latest film by Miloš Forman, and presentations of the directorial work of John Malkovich, Paul Schrader, and Patrice Chéreau, all of whom will be on hand during the course of the week.
Christian Falvey with that report on the 44th Karlovy International Film Festival. Now, before we go on, a quick word about Monday. It's a national holiday here in the Czech Republic, and instead of our regular programming, David Vaughan will speak to Věra Kilbelová, a woman who's lived on Prague's Wenceslas Square for 70 years and has seen so much come and go.
I think Wenceslas Square is one of the most beautiful places and squares I have seen in my life, and I have seen a lot of them.
Don't miss that special program on Monday. Now, with a roundup of all the latest business news, I'm joined by Jan Richter.
This year's state budget deficit will amount to at least 150 billion crowns, or more than $8.1 billion, Czech Prime Minister Jan Fischer told reporters after meeting the governor of the Czech National Bank. According to previous estimates, 150 billion was an upper limit that was not expected to be exceeded. Mr. Fischer said that the structure of spending would have to change in order to keep Czech public finances healthy. By the end of June, the budget deficit reached 68.3 billion crowns. This year's deficit was originally approved at a mere 38.3 billion crowns.
The Czech Republic won an international arbitration with the Italian-Dutch firm InvestSmart on Friday over the bankrupt Union Banker. The firm, former owner of the bank, sued the Czech Republic for nearly 7 billion crowns, or some $380 million, for failure to protect its investment. An international court of arbitration in London ruled, however, that the Czech Republic had breached no international laws or duties. Union Banka existed in the Czech Republic from 1991 to 2003. At that time, the Czech Central Bank revoked its license and it was declared bankrupt by a court. It had some 200,000 clients and 17 billion crowns in deposits.
The Czech energy giant ČEZ took a loan of some 6.8 billion crowns, or some $367 million, to build a wind farm in Romania. The 15-year loan was provided by a four-strong consortium of European banks. The investment in the vicinity of Fântânele on the Black Sea coast of Romania will be the largest coastal wind farm in Europe. The output will be 347 megawatts and the Czech energy firm will invest a total of 27 billion crowns, or nearly $1.5 billion, before the wind farm is finished by the end of 2010.
Up to 75% of the Czech Republic's railroads will open up to competition within 10 years, the Czech Transport Ministry said on Friday. Currently, nearly all the rails are run by the state firm Czech Railways, and the state annually pays some 3.3 billion crowns, or nearly $180 million, for the services. The Transport Ministry plans to divide the passenger railway network between several groups and organise tenders for them. The Ministry's move was welcomed by one of the largest private transport companies, Student Agency, that has been trying to enter the rail transport market for years.
And now to the news that the global financial crisis is taking its toll on the Czech Republic's sex workers. Client numbers at the country's brothels are down in some places by as much as 50%, according to Hanna Malinova of Bliss Without Risk, an NGO which works with prostitutes. Brothels on the German border are reportedly registering the sharpest drop in customers, followed by erotic clubs in Prague, which have been hit by a fall in the number of stag parties. In response to the crisis, many sex workers are lowering the price for their services, the Četeka news agency reported on Friday. Some erotic clubs in Prague are offering up to 20% off entrance and drinks, while some sex workers have taken to accepting food vouchers instead of cash, Četeka reported. According to official figures, there are between 9 and 10,000 prostitutes in the Czech Republic.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where now there's another chance to hear Christian Falvey's feature on the pioneering Czech animation studio Bratři v triku.
If you're looking for cartoon animals blowing each other up with TNT, luring each other off cliffs and the like, you've come to the wrong country. Gentleness, imaginative adventure, and a Pacific nature reign in Czech children's cinematography. And it was conceived by this studio, Bratři v triku, amid the rubble left after World War II. Today, 64 years later, Bratři v triku is still up and running, as unfailingly as its 81-year-old chief, Zděna Dajčová. Ms. Dajčová came to the studio in 1945 to make pocket money over the summer, and has, by her own estimate, made some 1,000 films there since. I came to the studio to listen to her memories from the early days of Czech animation.
My former colleagues who tried to escape being sent and work to Germany, so they somehow tried to proclaim that they are working on some cartoon film. And they found some black and white Snow White and Seven Dwarfs. And my colleague, they were really looking at it and they were learning how to move with the object, with the characters. But of course, fact is that we never try to copy Disney style. We somehow try to only learn something from the system, how it's really done.
The name and logo was conceived by the then 24-year-old Zdeněk Miller, author of the famous Mole cartoons and one-time chief of the studio, who received a 3-day holiday for his contribution. The logo shows three curly-headed brothers in T-shirts, which, aside from the obvious, had the added connotation of brothers in a trick film, as animation was referred to in Czech at the time. From its founding under the guidance of famed puppeteer Jiří Trnka, known even in the West as the Disney of the East, the studio went on to win hundreds of awards at festivals the world over, from the Grand Prix in Cannes to an Oscar for the 1960 short Monroe. The truly priceless product of their work, however, is the indelible mark it left on every Czech and Slovak child from the Second World War until the onslaught of Western programming at the end of the Cold War. Throughout a long, bleak, and often frightening period of totalitarianism, Bratři v triku built a colorful world of tenderness and artistic brilliance that remains the hallmark of Czech children's films today.
As Czech people, we have a little different feeling about the story. It's more poetic. And especially with Jiří Trnka, who was really himself puppeteers, we try to develop our, as we say, Czech school of animation. What we had in our mind, that we always try to find the best artist, background artist, and best musician, because we feel that if we are doing something for kids, we should give them something best. And we don't like to show, I would say, some kind of nasty, some lie or something, some beating or shooting. We don't like this because we somehow feel that when they will grow up, they will somehow face this kind of situation. But when they are little, they should really have something better.
Dobrý večer. Thank you.
Ms. Dajcheva met her husband, American animator Jean Deitch, when he came to the studio on a 10-day business trip in the late 1950s. Fascinated with the environment, and in particular with his wife-to-be, he stayed in Prague to become one of the only Americans to live through the bulk of the communist era on this side of the Iron Curtain. He later wrote a book about his experiences called For the Love of Prague. Mr. Deitch was working for Rebel U.S. animation studio United Productions of America, the hatchery for Academy Award-winning characters like Mr. Magoo and Gerald McBoing-Boing. UPA was making a splash in animation in the early days by revolting against realism for the sake of both art and cost. What they considered their own unique method, however, Mr. Deitch found well-developed in Prague when he first came in 1959.
We were doing something completely different than Disney did. If you worked for Disney, you had to learn how to draw Mickey Mouse. If you worked for Warner Brothers, you had to learn how to draw Bugs Bunny. You had to draw MGM, you had to draw Tom and Jerry. But UPA came out with the idea that we don't want to have standard characters. We want to be able to have different style for every film according to the story. And so when I came here to Prague, the amazing thing was that they were doing exactly the same thing, which we thought we were just absolutely the originators of this idea. And the Czechs had been doing this all the time. And I thought, my God, it's amazing. Here we are behind the Iron Curtain. They're seemingly 50 years behind us and everything else. But when it came to art, they were right up there.
The hardline Communist Party came to power in Czechoslovakia not long after the studio's establishment. While vast changes swept into most every aspect of life in the country, interestingly, one place that was left aside from the upheaval was Bratří v triku. While indeed the studio had its share of politically motivated firings, for example, Bratří v triku was, for the most part, spared the general tribulation of the era within a special shell of innocuousness.
Many people were tremendously suppressed. It was a really dark period. But yet, right here was a little oasis. We didn't pay any attention to that. And we were protected from communism for the simple reason that nobody understood any of those things I was just telling you before. Nobody understood how to do it, why we do it, or whatever. They only knew that it was something valuable to the nation. They knew that if they had these cartoons, that was the one way that they could get some kind of renown or a cultural lift or win prizes, because they couldn't win prizes with their economic system. They couldn't win prizes with their refrigerators. They couldn't win prizes with their crummy automobiles that they made, but they could win prizes with those silly little cartoon films.
The end of communism also meant the end of Bratří v triku as a nationalized entity. The studio today has found sustenance in cooperative and hired work for other studios around the world. They nonetheless remain essential to the production of almost every cartoon film made in the Czech Republic and still participate in the work of the leading animators in this part of the world, such as Academy Award nominee Michaela Pavlatova. Though they have adapted to a new age economically and technically, the future for Bratří v triku does not mean going the way of computer animation. The studio still sticks to tried and true craftsmanship of pencil on paper.
We are holding on to what is now erroneously called 2D animation, which doesn't mean anything. But what we really do is we do drawn animation. We're still drawing with a pencil on paper. We're not creating action on a computer. Those characters don't exist at all. This is great for achieving greater realism. But my main theory and my main feeling about animation is that the whole world of art is open to animation. And we can do things that Pixar can't do. For example, we can animate Picasso, we can animate Braque, we can animate Ruault, we can animate Chagall, whatever, you know, and all kinds of graphic styles. And so I don't think that you can't just brush off 2D animation, as they want to call it, as being something out of the way. Right now there's a big fashion for computer-generated animation, and we cannot match them for realism. We cannot match them for all those big special effects. What we can match them for is imagination and open up the whole world of graphic art to our work.
Christian Falvey with that feature on the pioneering Czech animation studio Bratří v Třichu, and that program was first broadcast in April of this year. If you joined us halfway through that, don't forget you can listen to it again on our website www.radio.cz, where there's an archive of all our programs in both sound and text. If you want to contact us, then send us an email, english@radio.cz, or a letter, Radio Prague, 10099 Prague, the Czech Republic. And if you have any comments or suggestions, do get in touch. We do look forward to hearing from you. But for now, from myself, Rob Cameron, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye. Ha ha ha!